salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. I didn't know how I was going to pull this one off today. I got to confess to you. Just, I didn't know how we were going to do it. In fact, I didn't even know to the very last minute whether we were going to be able to make this thing work. I'm on a kind of a family holiday, taking all the grandkids, my wife and I, and we're in a cabin out in the middle of nowhere. And we were here last night, and when we came in, the lady told us that there's no internet. And so I thought, golly, what the heck am I going to do? So I figured I would just call it in, as they say, you know, do a phone call. So I didn't even bring my good equipment with me or anything. And I get down here and hear that, you know, yeah, there's no internet, but they have Wi-Fi. I mean, there's this 4G waves of flying through the air, whatever. So I figured out how to be able to get on. And so here we are, and I'm sorry I'm in a rust bathroom, but it's in a rustic old cabin. It's pretty neat, and love my grandkids. It's really, really kind of a good moment for us all to be able to get away. Got a lot of stuff, man, a lot of stuff to do. There shouldn't be such a thing as weekends, because when there's weekends, I don't get to say what I want to say every day, and so it all builds up to me on Saturday and Sunday, and builds up, and got a lot going on. Did Serge ever get in here with us? Let me go to my stuff over here. Let me get it up here on the screen so I can see, know exactly what I'm talking about. Because I'm telling you, man, I got really something. First thing, Jared, pull up the calendar. Bobby Lee, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Friday night, I'm driving into Allentown, Pennsylvania. I think Mike Blake said he wanted to go. I think he still does. Anybody from Ohio wants to ride with me, you're welcome to come. Bobby Lee, Jared sees, have it up on the screen there. Jared, let me click back over. You're always on top of it, so you probably do. We're having a huddle in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Now, folks, this is open to everybody. It's free. If you're out in that area, I'm going to trust you. Trust me. It's going to be worth your time to drive there, okay? And what are we going to do? Well, we're going to get to know each other, and we're going to do a huddle. We're going to educate you a little bit. Try to get people to understand what's going on. Why won't this thing flip over here for me? I'm sorry, folks. Oh, I'm on the wrong one. Let's try that one. There we go. There it is. It's right there on your screen. It's Allentown, PA. It's at the hotels. What's the name of it there, Jared? Scroll up a little bit for me. I've got something blocking my view. There you go. Holiday Inn Express Suites, Allentown West. All the information is 5630 Tilg. I never liked that. I thought I misspelled that when you look at it, but it isn't. That's how it's spelled. T-I-L-G-H. Tilgman Street. In Allentown. And listen, you don't have to, but if you're going to be able to make it, Bobby Lee's a man on the ground. Contact Bobby, just so we know we got enough pizza and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to be there this weekend, looking forward to seeing some of you there. Now, I'm always amazed at people who show up that, you know, sometimes I think this is just a dinky little show that nobody's watching, and it is a dinky little show that nobody's watching, but there are people watching. And come on down, man. It'll be good. You get to see other people, like-minded people, other people who can understand what's going on, and we would love for you to be part of it. So we're going to do that this Friday and Saturday. Actually, it's Saturday, but love for you to join us. Don't forget next weekend, Rob Pugh's Ministry Expo Conference in Marshfield, folks. That's huge, man. If you're up in that Iowa, Wisconsin, what's the name of that state over there? Minnesota. If you're over in that way, come and be part. This is going to be a fabulous thing. In fact, John, he just locked up John Diamond. Wasn't that a great show on Friday? John Diamond's going to come, and he's going to speak at the event as well. So, you know, we got Bradley Dean and Governor Dan Fisher should have been governor. Mike Spaulding, coach Doug and Joe Hagman are coming. Now John Diamond. Anyway, folks, come on, man. Come up here and support us. Get to know each other. See each other. Shake hands with each other. Yada, 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 yada. Rob didn't have that grandbaby yet, I don't think. So we're just praying for that. I got a call from Todd Barm. Got a very encouraging call for Todd regarding his health. And just praise the Lord. Let's keep praying for him and Jen Campbell and Brian Cunningham and just hey, Mark Trump, how you doing, man? Haven't talked to you in a while. Good to see you this morning. I was about ready to call you, Mark. Say, hey, Mark, you got to handle this thing for me, man, because I didn't think we were going to be able to get it up and running. anybody have anything for the good of the group, real quick? Because I want to dive into some stuff. I want to talk a little bit about the day of mourning. I want to thank Jeff Klein for getting one going up in Mount Vernon. We had not a big gathering. We had a small gathering. I don't know how many of you guys watched the show, the broadcast. And I tip my cap, man, to Elizabeth Johnson. The hand of the Lord is definitely upon her. It was really, really good. And mourning, man, mourning. I want to share something with you today as we get to that. But I was wondering whether Serge was in here, because Serge was at the event in New York. He probably slept in. Are you there? There you are, Serge. Hey, Serge, bud, give us a full report, man, what you saw there.
Well, I don't know how much I can say. Am I coming through all right?
Yeah, but you won't say as much as Victor, so go ahead.
Driving up there didn't really bother me too much, but when I got into the building, it just struck me like a ton of bricks, realizing what I was going there for. For what reason? And I was driving up there. I was kind of disappointed because I tried getting 3-4 pastors to go with me, you know, 20-30 friends. I tried contacting and absolutely nobody got back to me. One gentleman said he might go with me, but he never did. And but getting there was just amazing.
Serge, let me say this real quick just before I lose this thought. How can our pastors be so uninformed and misinformed? How can this movement be going on in Christian America and our pastors not know it and be part of it? Go ahead, Serge.
Yeah, I wondered that myself. I was really surprised to see that at one time Elizabeth asked, or somebody asked, for all the pastors from New York State to come up on the stage. And I was amazed. There was, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 of them that got up there. They were all from New York State. So at least there's some of them that are awakened.
Well, I want you to think about this. And I'm folks, you know me, man. It's just the way my mind works, right? There are probably 40 pastors in Albany. Don't you suppose there's 40 in Albany?
Yeah, yeah.
There are more cities than Albany, aren't there, Serge? I mean, anyone called like Syracuse and Buffalo and that big one down. What's the name of that big one down there? NYC.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for 40. Go ahead, Serge.
What was really good to see was they had to open an overflow room. There were so many people there. I'm not sure. I was told a couple thousand extra people. So there was 2,500, 3,000 in the room. I tried sending pictures, and I do apologize. I'm not too good with my phone, and I realized just this morning that I sent some people pictures. I thought we're sending pictures to them, but I didn't send them anything. But anyways,
Tell us what happened inside there, Serge.
Yeah, for myself, I never cried as much as I did. I mean, I was weeping.
The spirit of weeping, wasn't it, Serge?
Yeah.
It was a spirit of weeping, spirit of mourning that went over the building.
It really was there.
That is so real, see, folks. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where that spirit has hit you and it's uncontrollable. It's something otherworldly. And I believe that mantle fell on that place on Saturday, Serge. I wasn't there, but I got a feel for it, man. I got a feel for it.
Yeah, it was uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
Someone tried getting in.
Yeah, this is Glenn. My brother, you know, I grew up in Albany County, so I know that convention area. That's underground in the lower part of what's called the Egg. My brother was there. He's not even Christian, but he said the room, everybody was sobbing in that room. It was just total mourning. And it was good to see that there were pastors there. Though that was encouraging. Pastor Charlie from the Victory Church he's a doer in Albany, and he prayed. He was the guy that prayed, and glad you made it, Serge.
Yeah, so was I. So was I.
Hey, I was in the overflow room, Coach.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Great, Bobby. I knew that you were going to try to go up there.
Yeah, I got up there. Yeah, it was kind of late.
How many were in the overflow, Bobby, maybe?
There was probably close to 1,000 at one time.
So that's nearly 4,000 people that were there then, 3,500, 4,000 people. That's great.
Yeah.
And they just piped it in, Bobby. They just piped they had the screens up. Is that what they did?
They did, and you could feel the Holy Spirit in the overflow room. It was pretty incredible.
Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Hey, listen, I didn't mean to cut you off, Bobby, and Serge, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead and finish. You know me, man. I shut them all up. Go ahead, man.
No, we just need to wake up. I truly believe something's starting.
Did you go alone, Serge?
Yes.
Okay. Did you get up and see Elizabeth? I saw you had a picture of taken there with Rusty and.
Oh yeah, I got there. I was at the door about 10:30. It opened at 11:30, and I did say hello to Elizabeth. I told her that you said hi. I wanted to take a picture, but she was just walking up on stage, so I didn't want to bother her.
Sure.
But I did get a picture with Rusty. I had a chance to talk with him.
So thanks for representing us, Serge. I don't want to get bogged down. I appreciate you going, brother. Let's see. Here's always the question. The football coach, huh? You guys ever watch professional football and they talk about the coaches have the first six plays of the game scripted. In other words, they're all about. So I'm a chart. I'm a coach and I'm a chart. And so we're going to go out and we're going to play. I'm coaching the Cleveland Browns and we're going to play the New York Jets. And a lot of times they go out there with the first 10 plays scripted, meaning these are the plays we're running no matter what, because we want to break all their tendencies that they have on us. So even if it's first, second down and one, and we have a pass called, we're going to run it because we're just going to break up all their tendencies so they don't have us figured out, right? So that's good. But here's my question then. What's our next play? Praise God for the day of mourning. What's our next play? And until we learn to have our next play, I've been waiting all week to talk about this, so bear with me here a second. God bless all 49 of you that are in here with us today. I don't know. I thank God every day that He would touch us, come in here and join with us, be in here like this. Praise the Lord. I'm not distracted. I'm thinking. I'm going to say this. One of the speakers, Love Life Charlotte, and I apologize because I can't remember his name, but I want to give due credit. he said the most profound statement. I think I hear a lot of them. It was a mic drop, and this is this guy who has gotten over like 40,000 people to come out to the abortion clinics in Charlotte. Over a couple of years, 40,000 different people have come out. We got to begin to do this, man. But he said something that so hit home. Are you guys ready? Christians in particular, we are opposition without action. That's the mic drop. Opposition without action. Oh, we're against it. We're against abortion, but we don't do anything about it. We're against them teaching transgender school. We're against it. We don't do anything about it. We're against the taxation, the overtaxation they're doing. We're against it. We don't do anything about it. We're against drugs. We're opposition without action. And I pride myself here at Coach Dave Live that we're about action, because it doesn't matter what you're against, folks. If you're just against it, it's like that bumper sticker, abortion stops a beating heart. I get angry every time I see it. So what's it? So opposition without action. So I think about this great gathering, and thank God for Elizabeth Johnson, that the number of people who were awakened. I was talking to my girls are here with our girls are here with us. And we're sitting around talking last night about abortion. And it's amazing how many people still don't get it. They don't understand it. And I said, they're talking about infanticide, which is what we gotta change. Hey guys, gotta change the language. Let's stop calling it abortion. Abortion is a meaningless term. It means nothing. Nothing. We have to change it. See, the left gave us that word. And we've been using that word for 46 years. And it's lost its impact. It's like saying disaster. It's meaningless. Abortion is meaningless. We have to begin to call it infanticide. Infanticide. So I was discussing with Maggie last night, our daughter Maggie just had a little precious little baby. And she was almost in tears thinking about those little babies being birthed and then allowed to die. Really, really moved her. And I said, Maggie, what about a 6-month-old? What about a 3-month-old? Doesn't that break your heart? See, we've got this mindset that if it's really, really, really small and it's just being aborted, we lose sight of what's really going on. It's infanticide. We got to start calling it that. The left has made it infanticide. And I wish I had some exciting stuff to show you here today, but I got some other stuff. I want to jump in here with you real quickly. Jared, this was a miracle too. Both of our daughters, they had babies two months apart. Little Emery came. See, I forget the time already. She came October, I think it was. I'll get in trouble. And then little Annie came in January. I remember that one, when Annie came. And so on Saturday night and Sunday, our daughters go to the same church. And Saturday night, little Emery, Maggie's daughter, was dedicated, not baptized, dedicated. And so she did it on Saturday night so the other side of her in-laws could come and be part of the dedication. And then Abby and Morgan dedicated little Annie on Sunday morning. And it was interesting because they let me come up there, me and my wife and all the grandparents, we all got to be up there as they dedicated her. And then they call all the elders up and to pray over them or whatever it is. And they took the microphone and one elder's got the microphone and another elder's got the microphone and they're praying over little Annie and this other little girl that's being dedicated. It's a powerful moment. And they gave this, you know how platforms are, so the pastor's clear up there so I can, you know, I'm just kidding. But the platform, he's clear up on the platform. And I'm standing down there with Abby and Morgan and Annie. And the most unbelievable thing happens. I don't know the guy. He hands me the microphone. I am not kidding you. He doesn't know me. I've never met him. Because if he had known me, he'd never given me a microphone. That's for sure. He gave me the microphone. And I just happened to have on my phone Psalm 127. Jared, can you bring that up real quickly? I want to share this with you this morning, folks, because it really hit home with me. My grandkids are in the hot tub out here. I hear them squeal. It's cool. It's great being a grandpa. If you hear them in the background, that's why. Again, we're in a cabin somewhere. Won't tell you where you are because they'll come and look me up. All right, Jared, Psalm 127. Do you guys get the picture? Now, some of the people there know how wild and crazy. Some of the people at that church probably know how wild and crazy I am, but they would hand me a microphone. They did. And I want to show you what I read. I already had it up on my phone because I don't know. I just had an inkling. I can't explain it. Verse 1, Jared, maybe you can scroll down a little bit, take it up a little bit higher because I got something blocking my screen there. That's good. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Hey, folks, that house is the home. It's the home. This is what I said as I read this. I want to show you something. I want you guys to see this. Don't miss this. Except the Lord build the home, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Unless the Lord is in control and has his eye and his hand over America, unless he's got his hand on it, anybody trying to do anything, it's in vain. Vain meaning of no use. If the Lord is not the head of our home, you can pray all you want to. It's in vain. All right? This is what I'm sharing with the people. It is vain for you to sit up late. He gave me the microphone. Can you believe this? To eat the bread of sorrows. It's vain to sit around and be sorrowful and whine and moan. It's vanity. It's no good at all. For so he giveth his beloved sheep. Here it is. Low. I turned to the people in there. I said, listen, I look across this congregation. This congregation is full of young people. Have children. Whoever's telling you not to have children is lying to you. Have babies. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Folks, I read this, I don't know how many times. I've quoted this, I don't know how many times, and boom, it hit me. One of those right in the chest. Boom. We'll read it again. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, the Lord's only reward is the children you give him. The fruit of the womb is his reward. He's not rewarding you with children. You are rewarding him with children. Do you see that? Do you see that? And do you understand why in this society the devil doesn't want us to have babies? They are the Lord's reward. They're his reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Now watch this. Scroll down, Jared. I got to say this. He handed me the mic. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of your youth. My. Your children, properly trained, are better than arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Or how about, what would we say today? An AR-15? Now watch. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And I admonish right now, any young person that's not watching, shame on you if you're not blessing your parents with grandbabies. Shame on you. Shame on you. Because that is your grandparents' reward. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish your folks. Do you see why they're trying to kill babies? Do you understand what's going on? Now watch. This is the most powerful part of it at all. And I wanted to preach, but I didn't. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. Who? Who will not be ashamed? Well, it's twofold, isn't it? Who? What's the subject here? Happy is the man. There's your subject that have his quiver full of them. There's a secondary subject. They shall not be ashamed. Who won't be ashamed? Well, the man won't be ashamed, and neither will the little arrows. They're not going to be ashamed either. You know why? But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Do you guys get that? Love, love, love. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God doesn't have any enemies. What's it say right there? What's the purpose of children? Speak with the enemies in the gates. Now, what are the gates? Well, the gates represent positions of authority. You can't get into some place if you can't get through the gate. And we have what's called gatekeepers. And so what are our little arrows supposed to be? Gatekeepers. Gatekeepers. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man. I'm happy this morning. My quiver's full. It's not full, but I'm getting full. For they shall speak. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I know somebody got a revelation there. Come on in.
Hey,
Michelle, I need a coffee.
Coach, Ruth Dar shared with me this, and I want to say this. This is going to fit perfect. She said that she's sweeping the kitchen floor one morning, and God showed her, gave her a revelation, and it was this. Most of these kids that are aborted with these mothers, it's their first one. And she said, how many great leaders, that oldest child is usually a great leader most of the time. It's pretty much a rule. How many of those great leaders never got to the earth?
Unbelievable. How many great Christian leaders never got to the earth, right?
That's what I was going to say. How many good, finally preaching pastors? That's why he's killing off the pastors.
And folks, do we see again? Do you see again why the devil wants the kids? Do you see again? Our children are arrows. Listen to me. His arrows, not ours. They're his arrows. These are the kids he wants to shoot into Hollywood and into government and into education. His arrows. That's why they want to kill him. That's why the devil's telling us in church, don't have any more than you can afford.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, George.
Coach, I had the privilege of having dinner with Todd and Leslie and Lexi and their son Jack last week down in Houston. And, you know, I was sitting there and just thinking about Lexi and what she does at the abortion clinic. She started when she was 16 years old. And you talk about contending at the gates, because like you said, gates represent positions of authority, government. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how many Lexi Halls do we need out there contending for the faith and doing battle with the enemy?
George, do you think in the average church that Psalm 127, verse 8, I think it is, do you think it's even entered into the mind of any people in church? Five, I'm sorry. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall contend with the enemies in the gates. Do you think the average church, average pastor, is training up the children to do that?
No.
No way? There's no way?
No way.
No. And so I ask this, Dale, I hope you're enjoying your cruise, man. Listen, we went up to Jeff Klein organized an event. Thank you, Jeff, for organizing an event up in Mount Vernon. Michelle and I drove up to Jeff's event up in Mount Vernon. No pastors. No, wait, one came late. I'll say it again. No pastors. I have to ask myself, I went to this, when we dedicated our children Saturday night and Sunday morning, when we dedicated our grandchildren, I'm going to tell you something. There weren't three people in that congregation that knew anything about the day of mourning. They had no idea. What are they thinking about? What are they spending their average? What are they doing? That's why it's important to say it's not abortion, it's infanticide, to make it real again to the next generation, because abortion is a meaningless word. It's just a fetus. It's just a meaningless word. Choice. Abortion. I'm pro-life. That's another horse I'm going to get on here and ride in a minute. Pastor Dale, where are they? Where are the pastors? Where are the pastors? Where are the pastors? You don't have to answer. I know you don't have an answer. I got something I got to show you here real quick. Jared, go back to our stuff here. Let's go here. Jared, hey, go to, yeah, Raj.
No, many churches have, you know, how to have a better family, how to have a better relationship with your kids. I've sat in on those. They've never went to where you went today about, let's have some more kids.
That's right. Never. I told him that, Roger. I told him have babies. I told him. Jared, go to, it says oppose a pro-life movement. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. That's not the one I want, Jared. Down at the bottom, Jared, it says right under PP running for cover, Oklahoma Baptists. Click on that, Jared. Oklahoma. Are you ready for this one, folks? Huh? Are you ready for this one? Makes me want to scream. Makes me want to holler. That was what Marvin Gaye said. An open letter to Oklahoma Baptists regarding abortion and protecting human life. I'm not going to read it. Do you know that the Oklahoma Baptists came out against a Senate bill? I can't remember the name of it. That would protect you. Well, George, you know that Senate bill? Do you know that the Oklahoma Baptists,
13.
The Oklahoma Baptist organization came out in opposition to protecting babies? Is that true, George?
Yes, it is true. Matter of fact, Paul Webb, if he's on the show, he could tell you he and Alan and a couple other people went to one of the Baptist churches that were part of that being against it, and they admonished him yesterday. So, Paul, if you're in there.
Yeah. Are you there, Paul? Are you there, Paul? Paul's always here. Well, he's not here today. Oklahoma Baptist, our enemies are those of our own household. Okay, stay right there.
Hey, Coach, I'm here. I had trouble getting in.
Okay, Paul, what's up, man?
Well, it was interesting. The church let us put signs out, and they at first we were going to try to go in and maybe mingle with the congregation to kind of pass out information. And so they kind of discouraged us from doing that, but we were outside the door. And it's just interesting. We had the pastor's wife actually come out and greet us. She came out and was admonishing us, saying that, you know, didn't like our tactics, and you know, you don't know what we do.
This is not the right place here. You don't have any idea what we do. We do it in secret, so nobody ever knows what we're doing, right? That's basically what she would say, right?
But
sends his wife out.
Hey, Coach. One thing I wanted to tell you though, the author of that bill, Joseph Silk, his wife was, I think, at the clinic on Saturday because a lady that Tammy spoke to her. And she was sharing the story about when those guys came to her husband's office, and he said they were in fancy suits and had jewelry on, and they sat down to talk to him. And he said after he finished talking to him, he said he felt like he was talking with the Pharisees.
I believe it. I believe it. Hey, listen, I got a lot to throw on the table. Okay, stay with me here. Stay with me here. Okay, Jared. God bless my friend and your friend, Glenn. God bless Glenn. He sent me two videos this morning. Jared, let's show outside the church. Glenn, God bless Glenn. You guys all heard of Robert Jeffries? We've all heard him, right? He's one of Trump's ardent supporters. God bless. He is. He's a Trumpster. He's a Southern Baptist, but he's a Trumpster, and he's supporting the president. He's called out other men of God for not standing up. So if I get this right, Glenn and some of his buddies thought, well, let's go to Pastor Jeffries' church. And they went outside the church and they called the church to account. Now, watch this. Watch the elders show up in their three-piece suits and all that stuff and saying the same thing, Paul. Oh, don't come here. You don't know what we're doing. We're doing all kinds of good stuff, right? Yeah, while they're killing babies, right? They still continue to kill them. But we're doing good stuff here. We're sending money here and we're sending money here. Well, Robert Jeffries, you have a national platform. Why don't you call for the abolition of abortion? So Glenn and some of his buddies show up. Go ahead and play that, Jared, outside the church.
Hi, the church. With Glenn. Sir.
Hey, folks, we're in front of First Baptist Dallas this morning.
To hide the truth?
We're here
no,
to talk to people about abortion.
If you're a Christian, if you follow Jesus Christ, let expose the evil. The book of Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's what we're doing. You seem to be trying to cover it up.
Treason.
God doesn't want you to do that.
Folks, these guys in the three-piece suits, they are church officials who've been out to make sure that they don't preach abortion to Christians. They already know all about it, right? So they've come out there to make sure, because they're making the church look bad, because these guys really believe abortion's murder, and they're pro-life. I mean, their church is pro-life. But these guys, they're in the wrong place. Go ahead.
These images wake people up. These images save children's lives. People need to understand the weight of what's going on, the urgency of the situation. It's not time to cover it up.
So we are here in front of First Dallas Baptist this morning to just raise the consciousness of people who are on their way to church. Talk to them about standing up for abortion, to speak out.
How many embryonic people have been murdered, have been destroyed? How many embryonic people have been destroyed by their own parents?
In the wake of the day of mourning yesterday, I just felt it was time to take my place among these abortion abolitionists who are here to speak out for the unborn, to those Christians who are coming to church here this morning in downtown Dallas.
You see, it's not a special calling. It's not a special calling to act like mass murder is a big deal. God hasn't given only certain people.
So we have the elders out here who are protecting those Christians crossing the street,
to treat mass
trying to hide our signs. This gentleman here is walking around with one of our sign bearers.
That's good enough. Glenn, I'm so proud of you. I just want you to know I'm so proud of you. Hey, folks, we have to ask ourselves, who's the real enemy in this battle? Who's the real enemy? And, you know, I just got to touch on this. Just bear with me a second, if you will. I get beat up all the time because I'm for any measure that will save babies. Heartbeat bills, I'm for them. Sorry. I'm for it. And see, there are those who will say that the pro-life movement has been the greatest hindrance to the ending of abortion. Now, let me say this very quick, very clearly. I'm not part of the pro-life movement. I've been trying to abolish abortion for 20 years. I've been trying to do it. But if you think, If those abolitionists had the eyes to see and to understand, see, they're almost pharisaical. They'll call me names, right? I'm a compromiser, and I give the government the right to kill some babies, and God doesn't. I get all that. I get that argument. I understand. But I think if a heartbeat bill has the ability to save 50% of the babies, I think it's a good step. Now, stay with me. Because here's what I see. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Now, tell me, why will Christians, pastors, not fight to end abortion? What's the number one argument we hear, my friends? What's the number one argument? Come on. Come on, class. What's the number one argument?
Choice. It's a woman's choice. It's their body.
That's one of them. But there's another.
It'll get turned down by the Constitution.
The courts are going to vote against it. You're wasting your time. Now, here's what I'm telling you.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, but the real pastors, they don't even use the constitutional escape clause. It's not my calling.
Yeah, you got to get me off track here. That's right.
Or Coach, better yet, we have what do they call those? We work with women that are pregnant,
right.
And that's our calling.
Okay, so stay with me here. Go back to John Diamond on Friday, right? If we begin, what if we get a heartbeat bill passed? A heartbeat bill. And it goes immediately challenged, boom, up the trail, boom, up to the Supreme Court of the United States. And the Supreme Court of the United States says, with a new court in place, the new court rules abortion is a state's issue. We have no business telling states what they can do. Therefore, we let that decision stand. what's going to happen all across America? People are going to say, what? You mean the Supreme Court isn't the law of the land? You mean if New York can make a law to kill babies, we can make a law to protect babies? Are you kidding me?
Coach.
It's a turnover. It's a turnover. We get back ground. And when we get back ground, we get back momentum. Can I ask you something? If the left doesn't get it, why are they moving to the states? They get it. They understand abortion's about to be over. And then if we save them with heartbeats and the court says it's okay that we save them with heartbeats, then we're going to know the power rests with the state,
We go from being a single cell amoeba to actually beginning the growing of a backbone.
Or gonads, right? Do you guys understand what I'm going? Why are the abolitionists, why are they my enemies? Why are they attacking me so much? I've been in this fight longer than most of them. Dale, you know what they say? Well, but you're a pro-lifer. In fact, I could show you a video that Glenn took where a guy says that pro-lifers are the enemies of abolitionists. Play it, Jared. Find it there, Jared. It's 2 minutes as well. Yep. Here we go. You're going to hear him say it. He's going to say, I'm their worst enemy. I'm their worst enemy. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, everybody. I'm here with Todd Bullis this morning. He's an abortion abolitionist. We're here at First Baptist Dallas in downtown Dallas. Hey, Todd, what are we doing here this morning? Why are you here?
Well, as Christians and as abolitionists, what we're doing is we're trying to expose the evil of abortion that's accepted in Texas.
So stop.
And the way we're trying to do that.
Stop. I'm trying to do that too. Go ahead.
And expose that evil is by handing out literature that talks about the difference between the pro-lifeism and abolitionism. And what we're trying to do is show people that regulating when, where, and how you murder babies is unbiblical. It's a secular worldview, right?
Pause.
Method.
Pause. I agree with that. Go ahead.
Abolitionism takes the word of God and says, you know, we shouldn't murder, period, right? And
pause.
So we try to show that.
Pause. I agree with that. Go ahead.
The pro-life movement regulates, and abolitionism makes it illegal. And the leaders of the pro-life movement throughout the United States, most all of them oppose making abortion illegal, and what
that's
they want to do is just regulate it away.
Hey, Todd, if you're talking about me, that's a lie. Now, if you're talking about Ohio right to life and national right to life, that's one thing. But if you're talking about me, brother, that is a lie. That is a lie. Go ahead.
To do the best we can. They don't believe that we can actually make it illegal. But we are supposed to take dominion of the land. We're supposed to do the work. We're supposed to expose evil. We're supposed
Stop.
To be a voice for
Stop.
The voice.
Stop. I agree. And I do that. Go ahead.
And we are not to make iniquitous decrees. And that's what the pro-life movement does. It
Pause
says
it.
When.
Pause that. I agree. No iniquitous decrees. No iniquitous decrees. And listen, dude, I ain't part of no pro-life movement. All right? I ain't no part of it. And the worst thing's going on is the divide and conquer strategy by you guys who are trying to rip the heart out of guys like me and many, many of my friends who've labored hard for 20 years when you were in the bar drinking beer. Go ahead.
Where and how you can and can't kill babies. So that's what we're doing out here today. I got my family and friends out here.
Time
out.
Hey, I take my family and friends too. Go ahead.
You know, we just kind of go around the church and hand out tracts and talk to people. So they're not our enemy, but they are pro-life, and pro-lifeism is the enemy of abolitionism.
Listen, do you hear that? Stop! Stop! Did you guys hear what he just said? They think pro-life is their enemy. Hey, boys, somebody help me here. Somebody help me here.
Coach, we've turned, you know what? We've turned the abortion issue into a denomination. Let me say this, though. We had over 50 plus at the abortion clinic in Tulsa. I've never seen that before in 2.5 years, not even close.
There's an awakening.
So, Coach, I did a little survey because I had my own opinion, but I didn't want to bias the jury. So I went around to some young people, and every person answered the same. You know what they said? They feel like the governor of New York and the governor of Virginia, they've overplayed their hand, and it's starting to wake people up. And I said, praise God, because that was exactly what my answer was, too.
Yeah. So listen, here's the point that I'm making, right? The pro-life movement is what it is because they believed that the Supreme Court's the law. See, do you understand? Do you understand? And so they're trying to work within the system to regulate, but I agree. I said 5 years ago that if a Roe versus Wade is overturned, abortion will be legal in Ohio because we've made state laws. 3-day waiting periods. I've been on top of this thing forever. I don't know, Todd. But I've been doing this a long time, Todd. And once you know something, dude, I'm not your enemy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. One of the things, these abolitionists, okay, they're the only ones in the Dallas area that show up at churches, though. That's the thing. Now, they might be the other extreme, okay, but there's nobody else doing it. And here's what I found out, in talking with people. You know, they give you lip service and say, yes, I'm pro-life, but they don't really, I ask people, I said, have
opposition,
you ever been to an abortion
Glenn,
clinic? They don't even go. They just say, well, our church is pro-life.
Opposition without action.
Exactly. Right?
Now, listen to me. Abolitionist is a new movement. And for them to come in and hoist their leg on guys like Flip Benham and Rusty Thomas and Dale Socia and Cal Zastro, people who have been doing this for literally 25 years, who have sacrificed and gone to jail and all that stuff, for them to come in and hoist their leg and make fun of the actions those guys make is reprehensible to me. Reprehensible! And they say Cal Zastro is their enemy? He's their enemy?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I think in some cases what happens is we throw the baby out with the bathwater. And the thing is, there have been people that fought hard for the pro-life movement. And what we have to do is take a cue from the abortionists. You know, they start off with abortion. Now they're moving to infanticide. Mm-hmm. What's next? And then we have to take that same attitude.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
I was a football coach, and I believed in incrementalism. Hey, boys, move those stakes. Just keep moving those stakes. 1st and 10, do it again. Keep moving those stakes.
Right.
Hey, Coach. Right? Coach, yeah. I think what we're seeing, this is human nature. Human nature always has to put labels on things.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know you well enough, and I think I know the people in the queue well enough, but when I go out to do something – I'm first and foremost a Christian. I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That if you want to label me, that's how you label me. I'm not going to call myself anything else.
So George, let me do this. Jared, go to my Facebook page. Because here's where the rubber meets the road, see? I try to sniff out hypocrisy. Jared, scroll down there a little bit. Oh, here we go. Boy, this right wing watch, get your typewriter ready. Go on down, Jared. Go on down. Keep all that. I gotta show you this. Go on down. Hey, I got so much.
Coach, while you're going there.
Yeah.
I've been around there. The name calling and brother, it just brings me back to the proverb. It says they commit their sin, they wipe their mouth and say, I've done no wrong. They literally, especially through the social media, and I don't care. Not all abolitionists are Christians. Not all pro-lifers are Christians. Not all those who call themselves Christians are Christians. That's what I do know. I don't even engage into that stuff no more. Mm-hmm. To where it's such a shame to the cross, but that's exactly what they do. They become so pharisaical. If you don't do it their way, you're not saved. That's the logic that they make.
Okay, boys and girls, so on your screen right now, you have the picture of an abolitionist. All right? I'm speaking to all you abolitionists out there. Right there on the screen is one. John Brockoff. John, are you in here today? Are you in the queue today, John? Because I'm going to listen. I'm going to bring this thing home for all of us, man. John's probably going to say, Coach, I don't know how to get unmuted. John's in here pretty regularly. Maybe he's not. If last time I tried to get him in, yeah, he's not in here. Okay. You know what John Brockoff did? Abolitionist. You know what John Brockoff did? Hey, Jared, scroll down. What's it say under his name? John's the guy with the beard. Scroll down and what's it say? I got my phone in front. Somebody read that for me. It says, I'm sorry, I can't see it. There it is. Okay, there it is. Johnny Brockoff. Let me move this over here a little bit, Jared. That didn't help me. There we go. Johnny Brockoff being arrested for burning down baby killing abortion clinics. What a great nephew. Johnny saved a lot of babies. And it cost Johnny 11 years in jail. Now, boys and girls, there's an abolitionist. Right there's one. That's about 20 years ago. That's an abolitionist. Now, are these guys out there who spouting names, calling? See, I deal with this every day in my own life, right? If I really believe it's murder, I'm just holding a sign. I'm an abolitionist. I'm holding a sign. Really? You think it's murder? And you're holding a sign. Well, that's brave of you. You guys understand what I'm saying? See, the truth be told, and I'm talking to Coach Dave, I don't have the courage to do what needs to be done. I don't have the courage. And they make fun of John Brockoff, and they call him names, and he laid it on the line 11 years of his life, and he went in and he burnt down 2 abortion clinics. He did nightly surveillance to make sure there was nobody in there. He didn't want to hurt anybody. He's got an amazing story to tell about it. And he burnt 2 abortion clinics in Cincinnati to the ground. Neither one of them ever killed babies again. That's an abolitionist. And you know what? Even the abolitionists would criticize John. They would say, that's not the way to do it. Help me out here, Dale. Help me out here. So there's hypocrisy everywhere we look, see? I don't like the way you do it.
If you don't, that is the whole mentality about it. That they are so quick. And listen, on both sides, they are so quick to defend to the shedding of blood, abolitionism or pro-lifeism, but not the cross of Christ whatsoever, brother.
Hey, Dale,
they have not considered the cost.
Hey, Dale, if they really believed that abortion needs to be abolished, holding a sign is pretty futile, isn't it? Holding a sign, handing out literature. That's it?
That's your battle?
That's
like standing outside the concentration camps in Germany. Come on, think about it, right? Holding a sign and preaching.
Holding signs and handing out literature.
While they're bringing people in there to be killed in a gas chamber, and you're going to say because I'm more vile about it, however you want to slice it or dice it, that's exactly it. So somebody like the U.S. military went in there and shut that stuff down. It cost men their lives, and they stopped this through war, which they had to win, watch this, through incrementalism. They didn't just all of a sudden win all the battles at once. They had to fight these battles little by little, and then they won, and it shut down the concentration camps. You're right. They just stand outside the concentration camps with a sign, and they look at another person across the street with a sign at the concentration camp, and they say, you're doing it wrong.
That's right. And so I think about a guy like Mark Harrington. I don't know if you guys know Mark Harrington that created Equal. They hate him. The abolitionists. Hey, guys, we're on the same team, aren't we? The abolitionists. We're on the same team. And Mark Harrington raises up a bunch of kids, takes them around the country, goes to events, plays that jumbotron. Jared, see if you can find that jumbotron. Jumbotron of a boy. He goes to the March for Life, plays the jumbotron on the road along the parade route, plays it, and he is vilified and ridiculed and hated. And then the abolitionists say he's a sellout, that he just wants to make money.
You had a mic drop moment. Unless I read it entirely wrong, by golly, the children of Israel took over the promised land by incrementalism, didn't they?
Of course you do. That's how we lost it. See, listen, people.
Well, Coach, Hey, Coach.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, a long time ago, you read a story, I forget where in the Bible, but it's about a guy, he assassinated a king. And it's like, do you think that assassin went in with a cross hat on and a Jesus shirt on? Or did he work his way up and then he got to where he needed to be and then he killed the king? Like, common sense, right?
Common sense. So, Jared, click on Jumbotron. This is what Mark Harrington does. They hate him. The pro-life movement. Listen to me. The abolitionists hate him. The church hates him. The Catholics hate him. Play it, Jared. And what does he do? Mark Harrington said, I take the babies to the parade because the victim ought to be represented. There ought to be some representation of the victim there. I'll get Mark to get up some morning and tell us about it. He's going to speak at our event. Occupy. There's the Jumbotron. They play that along the parade route.
Every single day, over 3,000 preborn humans are killed, like you're seeing on the screen. Over 3,000 humans who die who are just like you and me. They're human beings, they're just younger.
We're not saying the foster care system is perfect. We're not saying the adoption system is perfect. But what we are saying is that the solution is not to dismember and decapitate innocent children. That does not help anyone. It only ends in further trauma, further destruction of human life.
Okay, you can take that off there. You can take that off. You can take it off. You get my point? You get my point? Listen, I don't. If you can end abortion, baby, do it. If you can end it at 12 weeks, do it. If you can end it at 20, do it, man. Let's take some back some turf here, really. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm insulted. For those of you at AHA who stand out there and say abortion is murder, it needs to be done away with, we have to abolish it, and all you do is hold a sign! Hand out literature, call your congressman, look in the mirror, dude. Come on.
Coach.
Now. Yep.
Coach. That's why man-made labels and movements always become corrupted. We should, you know, since I've known you or Mark Harrington, you guys don't label yourselves. You're Christians.
I play with everybody, man. I play with everybody.
Yes, you do. And you're about your father's business. And that's where the rubber meets the road, not in movements or labels.
Hey, George, did anybody hear this other than me? Didn't that guy say that the pro-life movement was their enemy? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, and he really
believes it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, what they do is they it's like taking what we see. Okay, so we say church. We use this word church broadly. But we're the church. They're part of the church. But then they want to ostracize the church. Well, how do you ostracize yourself? You call yourself part of the church. So they take the pro-life movement just because you're right. Some of these politicians who will say they're pro-life just to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
And they will say that all pro-lifers are bad now. Or a cop yep. shoots somebody wrong. Yep. And yep. all cops are bad, right? Hey, isn't that the logic?
Jared, go back to the other video.
Coach.
Those guys,
yeah.
Go back to the other video. Those guys out there preaching. Go out back there, and they believe it's murder, and they're just preaching. Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, here, let me just say this: this is the first time that that I participated out in front of a church like that. All right, and I had the opportunity to have some conversations with people, and I had one woman come up, and she said, we had a conversation in my Sunday school class, and about six of us said, you know, we have to do more than just talk about it. There's something we have to do, but we don't Amen. Know what we should do. All right.
Something.
So I got her number. I got her name and number, mm-hmm. and I'm going to contact her and I'm going to try to get them to go to the abortion clinic. Okay. Because there's a lot of Christians. They just say they're pro-life, but they don't know what to do beyond
Opposition
that.
Opposition without action. They don't know what to do. I was in that church where they were dedicating my grandchildren, and nobody in there knew anything about the day of mourning. See, that's the problem. We're out of time here, man. Listen, I know this. If you get in the huddle, and half the guys in the huddle think you're the enemy, we got to... some serious problems. Mark Harrington ain't the enemy. Dale Scioscia ain't the enemy. Rusty Thomas, Flip Benham. Sorry. I ain't the enemy. I've met the enemy. And the enemy's me. God bless John Brockhoff for having the courage to do what he believed needed to be done. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.